Frozen Shows is filmed in front of a live Twitch audience. Hey everyone, welcome back to Bros and Shows. I am your host, Josiah, aka Mahler67. And with me, as always, you know, I got my buddy, I got my pal, I got my brother Austin. Austin, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
You're doing pretty good, Austin. I'm glad to hear that. I'm doing pretty good too. How's your day been, man? How was your week? How was your day?
The weekend was really busy. We had our in-laws down, my wife's cousins, and we did Christmas. So, like, when they come down, like, on the weekend, it is a long haul. Like, they get there at 7 p.m., and we stay up until, like, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, like, on Friday night and Saturday night.
Okay.
And I worked, like, a lot last week, so I didn't have any time to, like, sleep properly. And lately, I haven't been sleeping really that well. So I'm trying to, like, I try to go to bed, but it doesn't work. So I just give into it. And I've been...
just give into it? What do you mean by that? Like,
well, I'm just like, I can't sleep. So I just come out here and I hang out or I play a video game. Like, I'm at the end of, like, Red Dead Redemption 2. I've never played it until now. I don't know. Like, I played the first one and maybe played like 2 hours of it and I didn't like it. So then I stopped. But then I saw all these memes about it and I was like, okay, I really want to play this game now. So I bought it when Steam had their autumn sale and it's been occupying all my time. So playing games, really. So yeah, it's fun. So I've been doing that pretty much and, you know, just taking care of the wife and stuff like that. So yeah. Very much. So how was your weekend / this week so far?
I have been good. My friend Brandon from LARP got me a gift for Christmas. He got me and my friend Mikey a gift. It's like bath stuff. Because, like, he said, like, his mom says, shower stuff is always a very good thing to give someone. Because it's like, everyone always needs it, and sometimes you can just be like, here's some go, here's some great stuff. And he's like, and no, I'm not saying y'all smell bad. I'm just I'm like, okay, cool. Because that's the first thing that entered my head.
So, question about that. So, like, if you could choose, like, what kind of bath stuff you would want, like, I've seen, like, those bundles. Like, what would you want? Like, you know, and I'll tell you what I want. So, like, but what's a brand that you like?
I actually don't have a brand.
You don't? No. Oh, okay.
I'm, gotcha. Because here's the thing, right? So I have it next to me because, like, I brought it home and it's just been sitting here because I don't, like, I have my own shower stuff. I haven't, like, migrated into it. But, like, the one thing he got me that I've never used, like, never had. I'm the basic when it comes to, like, shower-based stuff. Like, I have my soap, I have my conditioner, I have my body soap, stuff like that. That's basically where I end. He gave me, like, hand lotion, and I was like, it's, like, men's hand lotion. Classic flannel. I don't think that I can show. But it's, I'm like, okay. And I just put some on, and I'm just like, ooh, my hands are nice and soft. I've never had this before.
Is it like Bed Bath & Beyond? I'm guessing.
Bath & Body Works is where
you Bath & Body Works. Okay. Yeah, because, like, they have an annual sale from time to time. Which
yeah,
like
that's what he said. He's like, it was on sale, and so he was grabbing all this stuff for people because he got it for a bunch. He also got me shower gel. I don't know what shower gel is. I think that's just soap. I could be wrong. Who knows?
Yeah, it is. It's just body wash. Like, they call
and
it shower gel.
And this is body cream. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what
body cream is, like, used for, like, you know, 24 hour moisture shower.
It's after shower stuff?
Yeah, it's after shower stuff.
Oh, well. See, I don't know this knowledge stuff. That's more than what I've ever done with, like, I'm just legitimately get in the shower, rinse myself off, like, rinse myself, clean myself, pat myself down, and head out the door. Like,
yeah, see, usually that's how I used to be, and then once I met my wife, like, she told me these things, like, people do this, and I'm like, really? Like, I'm only used to just using soap, shampoo, conditioner, and then, like, deodorant and body spray. Like, I don't use anything else. And then, like, I started realizing that, like, when I shave, which I haven't done in a while, I used to cut myself sometimes because I have a straight razor. I don't use a regular razor. And the moisturizer that I bought called Viking Revolution is, like, one of my favorite things because you put it on, it makes your face smell like sandalwood. and I love the smell of sandalwood or anything.
I think
wood
I use
related.
Their hair gel, their musk.
Oh, right. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Actually, hold up. Yeah, it's totally that because I have it on my a sticker.
Yeah, I have like an aftershave cream, and it really helps soothe the body, but it also it prevents from like pimples and other things. It also helps like growing your beard a lot better. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Like I've given gifts like that a lot. Like my favorite brand is called I think it's called Everybody's Jack or Everyday Jack.
Everybody's Jack. I was about to say, I'm like, yeah. Everyday Jack, man. That's
you
great.
Actually have my travel kit. I left it in your shower.
Oh, did
and
you?
I was like, eh. I was like, whatever. And I left my bar of soap in there too, which is like one of my favorite soaps of all time because I don't know why, but I've never taken a shower with a bar of soap and then felt like there was moisturizer all over my body when I got out. And I was like, this feels weird. But then I realized like the smell kept. Like, you know, like there's only certain soaps that I've learned that like will keep on your body, okay. Especially when you start sweating and stuff. Like one of them is Irish Springs does that for me.
I don't know. Like the big name products, you know, Irish Spring, Dove, like those things. I'm like paranoid of chemicals in that. Like I'm not even like a paranoid person when it comes to all this stuff. Just when it's like gel version of stuff, I tend to be a little more like I don't know about that. But even like hard soap is also kind of like
Well, see, that's why I moved to those soaps. So that soap, that bar of soap that's in your bathroom right now, It is actually all organic. Like it is from plants. It's not like anything that's like, you know, like harm, because they you know, like everyone's seen like the Dr. Sasquatch or Mr. Squatch Sasquatch commercials where they classify body wash as detergent and it has a lot of chemicals in it. So
maybe that's where I got
like
all that craziness.
I was like, okay, I'm gonna stop doing this. I'm gonna find companies that do that. And Everyday Jack does that. They all their stuff is organic and like very natural stuff. That's why I use them for shampoo and conditioner, and then I use this other bar soap. I forget what it's called. It smells natural. I forget what it's called. It's amazing. But you can pick it up at like Marshall's for like $3 a bar, which on Amazon they're like,
I don't think we have
$6.
I don't think we have that up in the
Pittsburgh. I think you would have the sister company of Marshall's, which is TJ Maxx. TJ Maxx is like another company that's like that, and I think there's one like close to you actually.
I am pretty dumb when it comes to that
stores
stuff.
Like shopping. Yay.
Shopping. It's just like, yeah, I don't shopping. Know, man. Is it in shopping. Target? Because that's what's near my house. Anyways, Austin, let's talk about someone who does frequent shopping, but you know, I haven't seen them ever take a shower. Let's talk about Being Puppy Cat, the show we watched this week. I, of course, forced you to watch the show. After we got done with Wednesday, we jumped over on this. This is a show that I personally loved. I watched the original YouTube first two episodes when they aired back when I was in college and instantly fell in love with the show. Austin, what'd you think of Being Puppy Cat? Technically, this is season two, I guess, but...
Yeah, it is technically. Yeah. It's one and two mixed together, like I've been told.
Yeah, it's kind of like they rehashed the story from season one. But... I guess it's technically a season two. What'd you think, Austin?
So, I found this when it dropped. I found the show. And I looked at it and I said, this is something that Josiah is going to make me watch, like, in the future.
I sure hope so, because I'm very positive I brought it up to you way before it even showed up on Netflix.
And I think so, but I just kind of, like, shrugged it off, like, most of the time when I'm like, it doesn't look appealing to me. So after I watched the first three episodes and then I was like, I'm just not into it. So then last week you were like, hey, you gotta watch it. And I was like, I knew it was coming. I should have just watched it. But I ended up watching this whole series and I think there's like 16 episodes or 22 episodes. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it's 16. It could be 18. Yeah, it's either 16 or 18.
But what I've been told, so after I've watched this show, I actually went back and watched the YouTube series, which is only a first season. And then the second season was supposed to be called Something in Space.
Well, that's what this is. It's called Lazy
in
Space.
Which, Yeah, which is the continuation of it. And they've changed a little bit of stuff that I've seen after I watched like the series on YouTube. But this show, starting off, was very hard for me to grasp a lot. Okay. There is a lot of things that I had confusion with, let's just say that. Some things I just didn't understand at the time. And as the show progressed, I kind of started putting things together, but I had to go back and watch a YouTube video of someone explaining the proper stuff to me, because I did get lost like a couple times. But overall, the drawing, like the art style of the show.
Yeah, the art style.
Reminds me of two shows, and it reminds me of Scott Pilgrim versus the World, like the comic book manga.
Okay, interesting.
And it also reminds me of Steven the Universe. Those animations for some odd reason, and like how the story is told. I'm gonna say this. I was not a great big fan of this, but I think the problem that I have is maybe I need to go back and rewatch this show and take a second look at it, because I did get lost in it. Like, I felt like sometimes that it was a little messy. I did watch the YouTube series, and I think that one was better, actually. I felt like I could like grasp what's going on. This, on the other hand, I kind of was like, ugh, like it felt messy to me. For some odd reason, it felt messy.
Okay.
But this show, I will say this show, goes into a very deep dive in a lot of very hard topics. And I love it. I love it for that, because some things are really hard to put in screen of how you feel or how something should make you feel. And some of those like plot points for discussions, like, you know, there's a big plot point of like betraying, you know, like betrayal and love, and just like, you know, going through things that scare you. And I really can relate to some of these stories that happen in the show. And I enjoyed, you know, Bee and Pupcat. You know, it was interesting. I kind of picked up on something like halfway through the show, and I kind of realized about a certain character, and I called it, and I was like, I called it. So I was pretty excited when that happened, you know, when I kind of got it. And I think then I watched the YouTube series, and I was like, okay, that makes sense. But yeah, overall, I enjoyed the show. I had fun. I'm going to have to rewatch it again to understand it fully, completely sometimes. This show is weird sometimes, like very weird. And it kind of brought me out of like that storytelling a little bit, because I was like, what is going on? Especially there was an episode with the pop can episode, and it was the one with like the tentacle people. Like, they were like, we have to touch the can. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on? Like, it was rough. But is it something that I enjoy? Yes, I thoroughly enjoyed Bee and Pupcat. So how did you enjoy Bee and Pupcat on Netflix?
Yeah, I liked it. I can't lie. Like, after watching the original series on YouTube, regardless of what version is or the story, I just love Bee as a person. She is what I wish I could be in the world, because she is carefree, happy, and she's just her, you know?
Yeah, she's herself. Like, she embraces who she is.
She unapologetically embraces who she is, which I also want to point out. My favorite addition to this season, that, you know, that with the first couple episodes, they kind of like rehash what happened in the previous seasons, so that way you can kind of like get touching. I think there was even like one of it was like called Once More with Feeling or something like that, or some. Regardless, it's a rehash of what happened in the earlier seasons. And I'm happy and glad that they include Deckard's family more. You got to see them more. Because in the same way that Bee is kind of unapologetic about who she is, his whole family is. And gosh dang, at first I was like, okay, I get it. There's just a bunch of them all. We're not going to really get to know them. They're all going to be these paper people. And then they just keep pushing in the background of each person, like hidden in each episode. Like the one, I don't even remember all their names, but the one who like ran away when he was 12 and joined a circus for like so many, I'm like, what type of backstory is that? Like, that's great. It explains why he's obsessed with clown stuff. But yeah. Like, what the heck? The one guy who owns the cat cafe actually. And he's the only one keeping it afloat, but he can't cook or anything. Once Decker leaves, he's like, we're done. Like, we're going to go bankrupt. Side note, yeah. You know who's that voice?
Is it Tom Kennedy?
No.
No. Okay.
Nope. The second he started Kennedy's talking, I instantly knew who he was.
The only other person that I could think it is, I'm trying to think who...
I have to think of Deckard's family.
Deckard's family.
Just so that way I can confirm Deckard's siblings. Because, like, I hear his voice and I instantly went, like, all right, I think I know who this is. Now I'm, like, paranoid. I'm like, wait, what if I get this wrong? Because each of the... Wesley's the older one. Merlin? No, Hal. Okay, so Hal is the owner of the cat cafe. Sorry, I had to like go and confirm this because yeah, I'm totally right. Guess who's Hal Wizardly's voice actor? Or you could just search for it. No, it's our boy that I absolutely love. Anything he's in, I'm automatically up for it.
Oh, it was Camille. Yeah. Yep.
And when he first started talking, I was like, is that Camille? That sounds like Camille. And that made me even more happier because I just like Camille. Also, I love how all of the family members of Deckard, it's like all like the wizard people, wizard names. So. I just enjoy that.
I did pinpoint one voice actor. Actually, two voice actors in the show.
There is one I have to check as well. Who is it?
Tommy Wiseau was in this.
Oh, Wiseau. Wait, Tommy...
Like, the room Tommy Wiseau.
The top? What? Really? Yeah, who was he?
So he played Mueller's boss. It was like episode 3. It was the guy that...
The guy in the toilet space where he's like, you can't... Really? Yeah. That's him?
That's Tommy Wiseau.
Oh my god.
When
gosh.
He spoke, I was like, that sounds like Tommy Wiseau.
It is! What? How'd they get... Okay. I don't know who these people are. Like, okay, I know Ferret, right? They're the ones who made, like...
Yeah.
I think they were... Yeah, they were part of Adventure Time. Bravest Warriors was also coming out whenever they did it. They have their hands, like, when it comes to animation, they're like one of the best people. And I don't know if it's like a collection of people or if it's organization. I've never looked into them. I just know that anytime I see that, I'm like, yep, I know I'm going to like this show.
Mm-hmm.
What type of connections do they have to get these people? Like, Tommy Wiseau isn't even like a voice actor. He's just... Mm. Tommy Wiseau.
He's Tommy Wiseau. He's his own person.
Oh my gosh.
So the other people, the other two that I remember, Tom Kennedy played Ladybug. Tom Kennedy is the voice of SpongeBob, if no one knows that. So I love Tom Kennedy. And He played Ladybug. In one episode. It was the episode
Oh, the little
where...
ladybug that runs around.
Yeah, okay, okay. Yeah. Yeah, the temp agent.
The only person I caught on to, outside of, like, of course, Camille, was the Space Outlaw. The second he started talking in the flashback episode where Puppy Cat was remembering past, Steve Bloom. I don't know.
Steve Bloom?
Yeah.
Yep.
The second I heard his voice, I'm like, wait, hold up. That voice is too familiar for me. Caught that instantly. And
Aaron Hernandez was Omelette. You might know him from a very famous YouTube series called Game Grumps.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Aaron Hansen.
I was like, Hansen.
I was a Hernandez. I don't know why I said his name.
Oh my gosh, awesome. Yeah. Okay, we could sit here and we could talk about the voice actors, but let's actually talk about the show. Because voice actors, fantastic. Love it. Keep doing that. I love it whenever you have some great voice actors. I think everyone kind of did a good job.
Oh, yeah.
Professional boxer now. No, he got KO'd. He didn't get KO'd. Someone got knocked out during that boxer fight. Because that was the one that iDubbbz did. And it's like, yeah, no, that's...
Oh, he did.
He was part of that.
Yeah.
He did. Okay. But yeah, like, the show itself, I really enjoyed. You said you rewatched the YouTube one as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see what's kind of... it's lengthened.
Yeah.
The
quality of the show has improved, like, with the animation thing. Personally, I like the old style, like the first style, more. But I have to say, the new style grew on me a lot in this series. And I figured, Austin, there was multiple episodes where I'm like, Austin's going like this episode just for the graphics alone. In the one when, I can't remember. He shows up on this trailer, but it's the dude with the psychedelic eyes and everything like your synth wave music that you love. What are they called?
The Midnight.
It gave off that feeling of like those old synth stuff. And I'm just like, this is such a cool aesthetic for the show. It's kind of trippy. I don't think I would ever want to watch this show under any type of influence whatsoever. Because when that guy started talking and he has like those glowing eyes, I was like, that would freak me out. But... the one thing I have to give this show is I love the humor in this show. The humor is never like punch in the gut, like haha funny. It's like left turn funny.
Yeah.
Like whenever that guy we were talking about, he has the son. He's like, you're my favorite son, Ross. And these are my two other sons, but they'll never be as good as Ross because I like Ross more. But they'll always be better and work harder to impress me. But they'll never be my favorite. And my favorite will probably grow up to be a bad person. And he'll be horrible. But it's okay, because he's my favorite. And as this dude's monologuing, and like B's going around fixing all this stuff, my brain's like, dude, did they just let this guy just ad-lib in the studio? And it's just like, we just need background noise. Just say whatever you want. And then the hand comes in and kills his favorite son. He's like, no, why didn't you kill my other two sons? And then me, the other Ross, specifically in that order. Like, I'm just like, what the heck? That type of comedy where it's just you didn't expect that type of stuff to happen made me laugh. I even found what's her friend's name? Not her friend, Toast. I find Toast. Yeah. More entertaining in this season than I did before. Before she was like just a weird person would show up boxer, and then just randomly in the middle of the season they drop a huge bomb. I'm pregnant. And I'm like, okay, did not expect this show to go this route. How'd you get pregnant? It's like one of your brothers did it, and I was like, ooh. And then you find out it's the real quiet one, and you're just like, of course the super quiet one would get with Toast. And she proceeds to attack Cass the whole time while pregnant, and you slowly see her like start developing the pregnancy, and I found that pretty entertaining, actually, oddly enough. And I don't know what to say. Like, the Deckard's family made me enjoy the show so much more because they gave the show so much more heart in a way that's fantastic. The other thing that made me laugh, that just again left hand turn, was the fish episode when the dude fishes out the fish, like lets it go, and then she materializes into a fish and she spends the whole day with it, and at the end she goes back in the water and she comes out, and you're like, oh, you're here, and you're expecting it to be like, I miss you or something like that, and she's like, thank God you showed me what a date was on the earth, because I hate that. I'm happy to be on the ocean. He's like, what? You could talk? End of episode. Cut. Done. I love comedy like that. That made me laugh hysterically. There was also another episode, I can't remember what it was, but there was just a single gag joke that was like real cut and no one talked about for the rest of the time, and it made me bust out laughing.
See, have you ever like had an like a thing happen in a show where like you're watching a show for the first time, mm-hmm. and then you hear a joke from that show and then you think of another show? Like, do you ever have that?
Yeah, all the time. Because we grew up with sketch comedy, Robot Chicken and everything.
Which I have to say something at the end of the podcast. Remind me. I wanted to tell you this and I forgot to tell you this, but remind me later. Uh-huh. So there's a joke in like the first couple episodes, and it reminded me of an episode of Kitchen Nightmares. And it was because he gets, she's like, I eat a normal, I eat soup. And then she's like, this soup is cold. And he's like, it's a gazpacho. And like, so it clicked. And it was, there's an episode of Kitchen Nightmares where one of the girls is like, ooh, this soup's cold. And he's like, it's a Gestapo, you idiot. Like, it's supposed to be cold soup. And like, I laughed so hard, like really out loud. It's like, it's so funny that some people like think it's just soup that just has been completely cooled, but it's made that way, you know, and mm-hmm. like people just don't see that. And I remember our friend Little Dakota worked in a restaurant.
He's not so little anymore, but keep going.
Yeah, but so he worked in a restaurant and some girl ordered it and he brought it to the table and she complained to the manager because the soup was cold. And he explained to her, it's served cold, like it's just Gestapo, or not Gestapo, wow. Gazpacho, I think that's what it's called. How you're
Gus
saying?
Gus Fring, yeah.
Yeah, gazpacho. It was so funny. So like when that joke happened, I laughed so hard. And then there was one joke that was just a stupid joke,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know why. I just was like, what the heck? Oh, it was her living in the walls. Kes, or no, not Kes.
Toast.
Toast. Yeah, mm-hmm. Toast was living in the walls. And like when she popped out, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, but then there was so many other episodes where I laughed at because I was uncomfortable. Like,
really?
Yeah, a little bit. Like that whole tentacle thing, like with the soda, like where they're touching the soda cans and stuff, that made me feel uncomfortable. Like, mm-hmm. I like weird stuff.
They touch to learn. That's what it is.
Pubcat.
Pubcat was like,
when they started touching him, I was like, stop. Mm-hmm. This is getting out of control a little bit. It made me feel uncomfortable. Like, I did not want to watch the rest of this episode. But I will say, out of all the characters, mm-hmm. Decker is my favorite character.
You like Decker a lot. Unfortunately, I feel like this season, actually, you don't see Decker all that much because he goes away to the school and it focuses on the rest of his family.
But he has one of the best story arcs in the whole show.
You know what? I agree, minus one person. I think one person mm-hmm. has a better story arc that I love more.
Well, I can say it because Deckard suffers from not being a failure, and that's a relatable thing. Like, he just is afraid of himself.
He suffers from not being a failure. What?
Well, he suffers from not being, trying to be successful instead of being his own person and showing courage in himself, and you know what's it called, not courage, it's more of like I totally lost the word.
Just explain it.
It's pretty much just like, you know, I struggle with that when I was like until I was about 22. I struggled from second guessing myself, pretty much.
Okay.
And I would always second guess everything I did. Like, I was like, oh, am I cutting this right? Am I doing this right? Am I fixing this right? Am I doing this right? And it would warp into me failing because I would make myself believe that I wasn't good enough. Except I got over that fear because of a person that I hold dear to my heart still, my father-in-law. Used to work in a metal shop, and he would have these people come to his workshop and build things, and he needed a helper, and his helper that was there got sick and couldn't make it, so he called me at like 7 o'clock in the morning to come and help. So I woke up, and this is at the time when I'm doing like I was having insomnia, so like I was up until like 4 o'clock in the morning. I finally crashed. He called me at 7. I was out there working at 8 o'clock, and there was a like this pipe that I had to cut, and I was like, hey, is this the right measurement? And he's like, you should have more courage in yourself. Like, you got this. I know you can do this. You don't need me. Like, you got this. And I'll never forget that, because that was a day when I realized, I said, I can do that. And Deckard did that. Like, Deckard, you know, is, you know, the whole donut thing, like the whole donut, was it Donut Planet? I think that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. That whole bakery thing and like them like doing that, I loved it. I loved every minute of it. It reminded me of like just some of the things that I had to overcome, my fears, and that's what happened. So, you know, I really enjoy Decker's story arc, and his family are phenomenal. I love that. I love those characters. So yeah, that's all I'm gonna say about that.
The thing I find interesting about your thought process on Deckard, I do agree with that. You know, I don't think I like Deckard. I'm really pulling for him. B, though, there was a point where I was feeling like weird whenever she started doing the date essentially with Deckard's one brother, who likes clowns, and I forget his brother's name, but I think it's Crispin.
Yeah.
But regardless, when she was doing that date, and it's portraying it as like Crispin kind of like is getting feelings for her essentially. And I think they kind of persist throughout the rest of the series, because at the end, the last episode, I was like, wait, am I supposed to like, is she going to get with him instead of Deckard? I don't know if I like that. But at the same time, that there's certain like story elements that are presented in the show that I'm not sure how it's going to be / end. And I can talk about them, but like, that's one of them. Like, is she and Deckard going to be a thing, or will it be her and Puppy Cat, or will, like, because obviously Puppy Cat is the outlaw,
the space pirate, space outlaw. It was
exactly, yeah. that was pretty telling from the original like YouTube video of it.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest twist of this whole season though was that the first monster they fight, that you actually, that he was just on the screen, the two mouth thing, was their teacher whenever they were little. I was like, did they just, now Gran, I will say it may not be that teacher, because it could just be another one of her like species or whatever. But I just feel like they wouldn't use the same being twice in that manner. I would love that if that's true. Big twist. I didn't expect that to be a thing. I also didn't expect to just have like the whole story of B and Puppy Cat dropped. Well, B and Space Pirate and the other person's name. I can't think of, I think it's like Violet or something like that. He's like a little companion. I didn't expect that. I'm happy I did, because I enjoyed that episode a lot. I really loved that episode. But there were so many times in the show, I'm like, I don't know how it's going to end, because they're entering a weird space, right? So we learn through, I think it's like the third episode when Deckard goes to leave, that B has been around this family since she was little, but she's always looked this way. She's obviously a robot. Like, it's pretty much plain from what you're able to like gather from the donut episode onwards, is that she's some form of robot, and her dad is this super intelligent inventor. You'll also find out that the dad was with the space outlaw in her, and I was like, didn't expect that. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, because cool. Like, after watching the original series, they kind of like state that like B's dad's kind of dead.
Yeah. Oh, they definitely like give off that vibe that.
Yeah, because like after watching it, I was like, okay, he's dead or gone. And then like, you know, and he doesn't have a lot of screen time in this, and most of his like messages he has are very cryptic.
Like, they're not, or just like loving father, like, yeah. Happy birthday, B. Sorry, I can't be there.
Yeah. So like, yeah, because like that part where like, what was it, like, Pupcat like opens up that gift or whatever it is, and it starts like highlighting that thing through the like windows.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a hologram type deal, and it's like birthday explosion canceled and stuff like that.
Yeah, because like I think it's like every year she gets like a piece of candy for her birthday, which you find out that again that's something that Space and Violet were in search for. They were looking for those pieces, and so it's like okay. There's some connection to what B is and like the technology that made her, that the father had like a connection with B and Violet. The other thing that I started catching on to relatively early, I actually was wondering if Cardamon's, I think his name is Cardamon. The youngest kid, the little kid whose mom is in...
Yeah, Cardamon. Because what I've seen of the original series in this, there was a change with the Cardamon putting the magic donut like with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Because like his mom's laying in the bed and he puts the magic donut in. And in the Netflix series, she cries out like these orb things of memories. Mm-hmm. But in the original, they're like jellyfish, which alludes to how jellyfish are made or something like that. I don't know exactly. But I remember
I think like that's like a mythos thing.
Yeah. Like kind of something like that. Cause like I saw that and I was like, that didn't happen in the series. I was like, that must've been changed, which I confirmed later. It was a change. So.
Yeah. I thought I saw it somewhere that it was like, but I could probably be wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. And like that change makes a little more sense, especially whenever they start going to detail about, when it starts going into detail about what those stones do, like, oh yeah, those stones grant wishes. And then the one friend, can't remember his friend, Mally. Mally says like, yeah, those donuts grant wishes, but only to the person. You can't force other people to do stuff with your wish. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, only the dog guides wish. And the son didn't get the wish because he can't force his mom to wake up. And then when he gave her mom the donut can't give what she wants. So instead, all it does is like makes her
gives memories.
Give these memories and like dream. Yeah. I don't even know if they're memories as much as they are like wishes, like dreams of what things were.
Mm.
Because that there's just like there's the whole one that pops out that's a puppy cat. And it's like, did she ever see Puppy Cat? That could be true, like 100%. It could be like a memory.
Yeah.
It could also be like her wishing that she could connect, or Puppy Cat changes his ways because Puppy Cat's kind of a prick. Most of the people in this show, I'm going to be honest here, most of the people here are pricks. Everyone kind of has something that they are kind of a jerk about. Like the whole unapologetically themselves. Is great and fine, but sometimes it's to the detrimental of the character. Like Puppy Cat comes off a lot of the time as being a jerk.
Oh yeah.
B comes off as not really understanding people sometimes, but she's always there to help. So I give her like the biggest pass because again, I love her. And like the other siblings or whatever, they're kind of like 50-50 on their approach to stuff. Especially the oldest one. Merlin, I want to say. No, not Merlin. Merlin's the one who gets post pregnant. I think it's Hal.
Yes. Yeah.
Hal is kind of a jerk because he's kind of like down talks everyone is mean to him, but he also has a soft spot. Like everyone has these redeeming factors that I'm like, I don't hate anyone, and it makes me enjoy them more for this reason. Like the fact that he allows B to just kind of like exist and everything, and she just had this mess up of like, he hates me, he never wants me to come back, and then he's like, no, I'm glad you're back, like I missed you, and she's basically family with him, and I love
him. Yeah,
I'm just worried. I'm gonna say this now. I'm worried, right? Mm-hmm. I love this series. I love the aesthetics. You mentioned before, like, Steven Universe kind of gives you the same similar feel. I definitely see that. I understand that. The randomness of the energy of the show and just how things kind of go 0 to 100, or the space world that they go as Tempbot is just so interesting and unique that I love it. But this show is not meant for kids, right?
No.
I caught on really early that I'm like, oh, this is not marketed for kids. I thought they were trying to market for kids. And then she started doing like the whole, oh, hell yeah. Oh, I mean, dang yeah. Like, or heck yeah, or stuff like that. And the episode, what was it? Oh, it was the wizards with the arms. I don't even know what to call them. Yeah, I don't think they were given a name. But the one dude like drops down. He's like, who the beep are you? And I'm just like, this ain't for kids. Like, yeah,
no, it's not for kids at all.
They're not saying the stuff. Like, definitely like teenagers or like preteens could watch the show and be fine with it. But like, younger kids probably wouldn't like it. Oh, the other thing I loved was the freaking fish just flicking him off. And then he's like, no. There you go.
There you go. Yep.
It's like jokes like that I find hilarious. But the reason why I'm scared, right, is we just got done watching Sandman not too long ago, right? That show, everyone was freaking talking about it. And they took so freaking long to renew it for the next season. And I instantly got worried because I'm like, I didn't hear people talking about the show. I found out about the show because I was on TikTok and a random ad came up for it where they're just like, 10 more days till being Puppy Cat. And I was like, why wasn't this presented to me earlier? I followed their account and I started like waiting for the show. The second it dropped, I started watching it all. But I don't want this show to be dropped because either low viewership or low finishing rates. And because it's not like meant for kids, I think what could happen is people start watching it thinking it's for kids and then quickly seeing it's not and then cutting it off. And then Netflix sees just halfway watch seasons and they're like, the show is not doing as well. We're going to cut it off. Because I love it. I want to see it continue. And that's why I'm really worried about. And so the second I got done finishing, I started like frantically searching like season three. Has it been confirmed? So far, no one's saying anything. I'm like, that's me out, man.
Yeah,
I don't want... Because this show went from YouTube, who I think it went to a GoFundMe, and then it was going to be released on YouTube, but then Rare got connected with Verve. So they released all their seasons on Verve, which unfortunately made people have to pay for Verve, and there was a huge controversy about that, because like, we kickstarted, so we didn't have to pay for it. And it's like... But Verve, and then this show went on to Netflix, and that's like, cool, more exposure for them, that's great. And it's also at the authoritarian grasp of the corporate Netflix overlords who are just like, profit, money, this. And that freaks me out, because I enjoy this show. If I was a rich man, I'd be dumping a bunch of money on their laps and be like, keep making it. Finish the story. But I'm not. I'm just this guy in the middle of Pennsylvania who ain't doing jack. And I don't got that money. I love it.
It's a good
comedy show. Is my type of comedy. And like I always tell you, Austin, that I love animation. I think animation is probably the best form of storytelling mechanics for everything. Who knows? I'm thinking Numbuster for 100 bits, man. You don't gotta do that. We're just having a little show here, man. I appreciate it.
Tentacles are notorious for touching to learn. Yes, because if you've ever watched the Futurama movies, was it the belly? Was it the beast with the something backs? Was it like a million backs or something like that? I forget what it is, but it was like the tentacle monster, the purple tentacle monster that everyone fell in love with.
Oh, that thing. I thought you were talking about the tentacle. Like...
Yeah, it's taught us everything.
Skinny, like the dudes who like held permission or something. No. The ones who like get Bender and like scam him.
Yeah. The one that where he has to go back in time, you find out that Fry is the same doctor that's seeing Leela.
Yeah. I thought they like did something with like
01001110011.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was the tattoo thing.
But yeah, I love the show. I love it, and I will tell people to watch it. Not meant for kids, and that's going to make it hard to sell to some people, because I do have a lot of those friends who are big animation fans, and they will definitely watch it. But if it's not for kids, it's hard for me to convince people, because it's like, why would I want to watch this show if I can't watch it with my kids? I'm like,
well, see, that's why
they probably wouldn't get half the jokes. That'll be honest.
I'm a huge fan of the show Cuphead. The game Cuphead. And when I found out that they were doing a Netflix TV series about it, like a cartoon, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's got to be like rated PG or PG-13 because they use guns and they shoot from their hands and stuff. And not the case. It's just a cartoon. Like, it is a cartoon. Not really violent at all. It's just a cartoon. And it's a kid show. It targeted really hard towards kids, and you can tell. But this, on the other hand, was like a mix between being, I think, like, rating wise this is like teenage vibes, kind of like,
yeah, oh yeah, for sure. It,
you know,
I whenever I watch it, I'm like, if this was out whenever I was in like middle school, high school, this would be on the frequently turned to list. Like, it's in the same like area as like Kim Possible. Like, Kid Possible, kids, very clean, but that's because it was on Disney Channel. This show would be like what I would prefer to watch over like those other shows, because it's like, it's just a little bit more edgier, you know. It's like, yeah. It's like Case Closed. Whenever I was little growing up, it's like it's cartoon anime. I was dumb when I was little, but it's like dark and mysterious, and there's murder. I love murder. I mean, yeah, I love Sherlock's
severed head comes like flying by this like door.
The window.
Oh, dude, that terrified me when I was a kid. I remember we watched that with, who was it? It was Garrett Ryan, Dominic, and Dylan. We were all watching that together, and that happened. I was sitting on the back of the couch. I was like, nope, no.
Like, that was a two-parter, I believe, because that's whenever they all went to the woods, and the one friend was going to kill them. I love that show. We'd love to do that show, but unfortunately, that's in the same realm of like half the other shows we love. Many episodes.
Too many episodes. It's kind of like, I know that you like British humor.
There's something special about it, man. I can't label Canadian
humor a lot. So like, there's like shows that I'm not gonna let you watch because there's too many episodes and too many cooks.
You know what he's talking about, right? When
he says that. Too many cooks. Yeah, of course I know too many cooks.
Cool.
That's another show I've been rewatching. Thank you. Thanks to you and Jordan for making me rewatch that show again.
It's a good show too. All right, Austin. Yeah. So we're starting to wrap up because we're now starting to like jump off just talking about different
things. Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't want to bore people with that type of stuff. Austin, would you watch the next season if it came out?
Of course.
Dang right. That's what I wanted to hear from you. Regardless of what you said, if another season came out, I'm forcing you to watch it.
Actually, what's really funny is I started watching this show, and I watched it at work with one of the people I take care of. I've talked to you about him. He's like into anime and stuff. I was watching this, and he was like, is that Bee and Pupcat? I was like, yeah, why? And he's like, that's a great show. I love that show.
People who know about it, they'll live by it, man.
Well, he didn't know that there was a new series. I was like, you know it's on Netflix, right? He's like, what? He's like, nuh-uh. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, he's like, okay. And then the next day I come back and he's like, that was a good season. I was like,
dang.
Did you watch it all? And he was like, yeah, after you left, I watched every episode and I never went to bed until like 3 o'clock this morning.
Yep.
And I was like, good. Good for you, sir. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, give him something to do.
I distinctly remember the joke that made me fall in. Actually, there was three big jokes that made me fall in love with Bee and Pupcat, and why I will be a forever fan of Bee and Pupcat. And it was all from the YouTube bit. The first one was, "It took too long. Now your candy's gone. That's what happened." Pacow! And then she walks out. Absolutely love that one. The other one is whenever she's like beating the dude with a sword, he's just like, ew, use the sword. Yeah. Pop, pop, pop. Use the sword as a sword. Oh, don't tell me what to do. But I love that joke. And there's another joke, but I'll pass off to the side. But those jokes, first season, absolutely love. And it has cemented it, and I'll be excited for it. Be happy whenever the next season come out, because gosh dang it, I want that to happen. But Austin, that's what we're talking about, being PubCat, the craziness of it, the fantasticness of it. Austin, what are we watching next week
for Birds and Shark? So we are watching a show that I will tell you this, it was a sleeper. I did not expect it to be this good. I thoroughly enjoy this because, you know, I'm a huge fan of cooking. I love watching cooking shows like Kitchen Nightmares. I love Gordon Ramsay, and I watch Hell's Kitchen, but I don't watch it religious like everyone else does. I just, it's one of those background things like Futurama for me. But we're watching The Bear, and it stars Jeremy Allen. I think it's Jeremy Ian White or Alan White. It also has John Breathenroll in it. I'm trying to think who else is in it that I know. There's another character in it, which I don't want you to look up the cast, because there is a cameo from one of the shows that we actually have done a podcast on. But once you see this person, you'll know who he is.
Is it the actual character, or is it like
it's the actor. Okay. It's the actor. So you'll know the actor right when you see it. But this show is so a little like the summary little plot thing that they say, but it doesn't ruin it, is a dude's brother gets left a restaurant that was his old brother's place. The dude used to be like an award-winning chef. Okay. So yeah, that's what it is. I will fair warn people that. This, there is a warning with this show. It does deal with serious problems. Like, I'm talking like mental problems. It does shadow over those things, and they do really good in a drama. If you have anxiety, I would, you know, just go, you know, I'm giving you a warning going in that there is something that happens in the show that made my anxiety go crazy.
Is this like a drama, or what is it?
Yes, it's a drama.
It's a drama? Okay.
It's only one season right now. It came out and everyone fell in love with the show, and we are waiting for season two. It just got nominated. What is it? Jeremy Allen White just got nominated for best actor in a drama TV series this year. So,
okay.
I'm super stoked to see what your reaction is, because I've never seen a show do something like emotionally to me in this way. Like, you know, I cry, I laugh, and I do that, but this did something that no other show has done for me, and we'll explain that next week when we're on the podcast, so I don't spoil anything else. So,
okay, sounds good.
I'm super stoked. Oh, so the thing I was going to tell you by the end of the podcast is this weekend, I introduced my buddy Mikey, which you have met, to Middle Dish and Swartz.
Oh yeah,
and he loved it. He thought it was great, especially the whole episode with the gazelle.
When they're trying to get the job. Yep.
Now he goes around and quotes one of those episodes. There's a part where he's like at the New York Post or the New York Times, and he's like, "Sir, you're hard." And he's like, "I'm sorry." And he's like, "It's just a humble 9 inches." And he was like, "You mean a short nine?" He goes, "Yeah." So, like, you know, when we go around somewhere, it's like, "So how's it going?" He's like, "I'm a humble nine," like, you know, stuff like that. So we've been quoting Middle Dish and Swartz, but he enjoyed it very much. And I told him that we did a podcast on it because you made me watch it, and you like improv, so and I like improv too. So, but yeah, that's what
it's a good show. I'm just sad that there was only one season of three episodes and they never knew it. But hey, what can you do? It just added an extra thing on my wish list now to go out to LA and see them live at some whenever they start going again. Yeah. All right, Austin, sounds good. So next week we're watching The Bear. I appreciate you stopping by, Austin, and watching it with me.
I'm gonna also state this because some people do ask me, The Bear is on Hulu. If you have a Hulu subscription, then
we should probably
Hulu.
Do that whenever we mention The Bear. Yeah. And just say what where to watch it at, or an option to watch it at.
Yeah, because like I've gotten like two people that's asked me, "Well, what streaming service is on?" I'm like, "Did you watch podcasts?" It's like, "Yeah," and I was like, "Oh, then don't say it." So yeah, it's on Hulu. It's a limited run. Well, it's one season. So yeah, we'll have fun.
All right. Sounds good. Austin, thank you so much for stopping by and joining me on this episode of Bros and Shows. And to everyone else, thank you all so much for stopping by, and thank you all so much for tuning in.